there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. South Dakota Republican Senator John Thune lost his battle today in the U.S. Senate to compel the U.S. government to finish building a security fence along the border with Mexico. His fellow senators rejected his amendment to the immigration bill, co-sponsored by Republican John McCain and Democrat Chuck Schumer, that would have built 700 miles of double-tiered border fencing. The U.S. Congress authorized the fence 7 years ago, but the pro-illegal immigration lobby in the U.S. has successfully blocked the construction. Opponents of the bill want the Congress to enact meaningful border security before moving to grant amnesty to millions of illegal immigrants. Opponents say that without the security in place, more illegal immigrants will pour into the USA seeking citizenship rights. Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions said about the bill, quote, "The longer it lays in the sun, the more it smells," end of quote. In the U.S. House, California Congressman Dana Rohrabacher threw down the gauntlet to Speaker John Boehner over the immigration bill. The popular California congressman said that if Mr. Boehner teams up with House Democrats to pass the Senate immigration bill over the objection of the House Republicans, Mr. Boehner should be removed as House Speaker. And if you're still in denial about the possibility of international banksters stealing your life savings out of your bank account, pay close attention to this Reuters news story from Brussels. Eurozone finance ministers will discuss on Thursday how to decide which creditors will lose money and in what order during future bank rescues by the bloc's bailout fund, the European Stability Mechanism. Four options will be considered. All four include some type of bail-in mechanism, meaning the EU and the European Central Bank are setting in place the legal mechanism to steal hundreds of billions of euros from bank depositors. Perhaps the bank bail-in mechanism for European banks has something to do with this special alert from a European think tank that publishes a quarterly newsletter entitled Leap 2020. I'll post the article on TrueNews.com tomorrow. Regarding the real state of the global economy, the think tank's economists said the situation is now out of control. They cited the wild gyrations in the Tokyo stock market in recent weeks. The European economists and professors are predicting a second devastating financial crisis worse than 2008 that will produce a worldwide outburst of social unrest. The think tank is predicting that this next financial crisis will hit in the second half of 2013. The OECD, the Paris-based think tank that pretends to be a global government agency, is calling for the creation of a global system to automatically share between nations financial information about individuals and companies. In other words, they want a global clearinghouse on your earnings and investments. The OECD is the leading socialist organization seeking to destroy low-tax offshore financial services, such as various Caribbean islands and Panama and the Cook Islands or Seychelles off the coast of Africa. The OECD labels such countries as tax havens, implying that only corrupt people such as drug dealers have their money in banks in those countries. What they really mean is that high-tax nations such as France, Great Britain, and the USA want to stop their citizens from parking their money in low-tax countries such as Panama, Nevis, and the Cook Islands. The big tax and spend socialist governments are running out of money and time, and they're trying to lock down the gates so that their citizens don't flee with their life savings before the tax collectors and the international banksters steal it. Perhaps you've seen the propaganda video featuring big-name Hollywood movie celebrities calling for the U.S. government to unilaterally disarm its nuclear arsenal. Michael Douglas, Matt Damon, Morgan Freeman, Robert De Niro, Martin Sheen, and Alec Baldwin are among the film stars who appear in a video produced for Global Zero, a group promoting disarmament. Barack Obama has quietly ordered the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff to reduce the American nuclear arsenal to less than 1,000 warheads. There are reports that Mr. Obama may attempt to reduce the level to 300 warheads before he leaves the White House. While Mr. Obama and the Hollywood socialists are pushing their propaganda promoting disarmament in the USA, just the opposite thing is happening in Russia. In Moscow, the Novosti news agency reported today that Russia will begin construction of a prototype of a heavy liquid fuel intercontinental ballistic missile in 2014. Russia expects to start construction on the final version by 2018. Russia is also building the sea-launched Baleva ICBM and the ground-based Topol-M. Russia's Strategic Missile Forces commander, Colonel General Sergei Karakayev, said last year that the new ICBMs would have a launch mass of 100 tons with a better payload-to-launch weight ratio than in solid-fuel missiles. As a result, the new Russian missile would be able to carry more powerful warheads, including MIRVs with decoy elements. According to Russian military officials, all units of Russian strategic nuclear forces will be equipped with advanced targeting systems capable of guiding ballistic missiles through the U.S. missile defenses by the year 2020. Time to take a break. When I come back, Waleed and Theodore Shobat will join me to talk about Glenn Beck, Mormonism, and Islam. You're hearing it right here on True News.
Reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ, you're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast.
Believers have a responsibility to make healthy choices. Here's today's Moment with Charles Stanley.
If I were to take this Bible this morning and just rip it up right in front of you and just tear it up and rip it in pages and throw it all over the place, you'd say, well, you have desecrated the law of God. You have desecrated the Word of God. It is a shame. It's a terrible testimony. And you did it right in front of us. Well, when you mistreat your body and abuse it, alcohol, drugs, tobacco, you name it, or overeating, eating just junky stuff all the time, when you abuse the human body, you know what? I can buy a Bible this afternoon. Can't buy another body. Nobody can buy another body for you. There's not anybody who can give you another body. Even God's not going to do that on this earth. You only have one. And I'd say to you as parents, by what you do in your home, your body, what you eat, what you allow in your house, what you don't allow in your house, sends your kids a big message. And so we have to learn how to live a godly life in a sinful society. How do we keep a healthy body in a very unhealthy society? It is our responsibility. And it's difficult sometimes. I do understand that. But you see, the most important thing is that you and I live out the will of God, that we give it our best no matter what. And I realize that maybe you're facing situations that you don't know what to do about it. I understand that. I'm not talking about exceptions. I'm talking about in generalities here, that we have a responsibility. It's my responsibility to handle my body correctly because it isn't mine. Your body belongs to God. Mine belongs to God. We're responsible to the living God for what we do.
The This is True News, your Christian alternative source for news. I'm Rick Wiles. Hey, I'm going to tell you right up front that this interview is going to get me in a lot of hot water no matter what I say. The topic is Glenn Beck, Mormonism, and Islam. Now, we have a lot of diehard Glenn Beck fans who listen to True News also, so I will immediately be burned at the stake for having this discussion today. We also have a lot of devout Mormons who listen to True News, and most likely a lot of them are going to flood my email box telling me we're completely wrong. And, you know, I guess we have some Muslims listening. I'm not quite sure, but, you know, everybody's welcome. Glad to have everybody listening to True News. I read an interesting article last week by former Palestinian radical Waleed Shabbat concerning Glenn Beck's views on Islam. And quite frankly, it took me by surprise because even though I'm not a regular listener to Glenn Beck's radio program, I don't have time during the day to listen to radio. I'm working so much. But, you know, I know in the past I've heard him talking about radical Islam, jihadists, terrorists. So when I read Waleed's article, it really threw me for a loop. I wasn't sure exactly where he was coming from on this article, but I read on and I said, okay, I know Waleed. He's been a regular guest on this program over the years. I'm going to have him come on the program and explain himself on this. So Waleed is on the phone along with his son Theodore. And this is Theodore's first time on True News. So Waleed and Theodore Shabbat, welcome to True News.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, let's start, Waleed, let's start with you. You're the guy that wrote this article. Like I said, you know, I'm not a regular listener of Glenn Beck's program. I have heard him from time to time, but I know I've heard him talk about the dangers of radical Islam and jihadists and terrorists. So why did you write this article that was entitled, what was it, Glenn Beck Converts to Chrislam?
Chrislam, exactly. It's not because Glenn Beck is Mormon. It's not because, you know, Glenn Beck's political views, you know, even there are political views, I don't agree with Glenn Beck. He calls Geert Wilders fascist. I don't think so. I think Geert Wilders is a good European man who is defending his country, the Netherlands. It is about Glenn Beck's spiritual push towards, you know, conforming everybody to deism. That's the problem. In other words, you know, I got no problem if a Mormon goes for the election. In fact, I might vote for him. But the problem is that when politics enters the realm of Christianity, and in order for Christians to use this person who is non-Christian, they begin through pressure to undermine Christian theology, to undermine our duty to expose evil and to expose heresy. And this kind of collaboration between church and cult is why we wrote the article. It has nothing to do with my agreements or disagreements with Glenn Beck at all. As we see the Glenn Beck influence in the churches, we see even all the way to Franklin Graham taking out all the material from his ministry regarding Mormonism being a cult. That's a very dangerous issue. When Glenn Beck interviews several occasions Christians in which, because he is so charismatic and because they think they need him so much, and he begins to confront them on issues, they begin to undermine the Mormon heresy altogether. That, to me, is dangerous. Plus, Glenn Beck isn't really calling for Christianity. He lies when he says, I'm a Christian. I believe salvation through Jesus Christ, because he, number one, denies the Trinity. Number two, he's a deist. In other words, he believes Muslims and Mormons and all the cults together, Buddhists, believe in God, and everybody should conform to this deistic view in belief in God. Why? Because we have a more important thing to deal with, and that is the salvation of the country as a country, as a nation.
Now, Wally, does he state this deist view on his radio program?
Yes, several times. In fact, Theodore, you know, he did more research than I on the deist and Glenn Beck.
All right, Theodore, why don't you come into the program and tell us, give us some specific examples.
Yes. Well, Glenn Beck, he went to Jerusalem and went to the Temple Mount, and he did this event when he had a number of speakers there. And TBN actually filmed it, and TBN filmed Glenn Beck in front of the camera saying that the Temple Mount and that Jerusalem is fit for all three faiths, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Well, you know, for one thing, it's a shame that the Trinity Broadcasting Network would do this, because Glenn Beck, also on when Beck has done interviews on certain occasions, Beck in one video, and I put this on the article, he has denied the Trinity and says, I'm a Mormon. And then he begins to criticize other theologians, saying, well, those deep theologians, as he calls them, you know, why are they denying my theology? Why aren't they open to my theology? And he is finding ways to get people to conform, and that is why he is getting some of the most major evangelical pastors in America on his show, and then telling them, well, we are both Christian, right? For example, he got David Barton on, one of the most influential evangelicals out there, and also a pastor. And he asked them, well, you know, we're different theologically, but we're both Christian. Oh, yes, yes, of course. And then he'll say something like, well, I'm a Mormon, and I don't believe in the Trinity. Oh, that's fine. Oh, you're still a Christian. And then he will bring Pastor Robert Morris of Gateway Church, very, very influential, considered to be very prestigious in this country. And he'll say to Robert Morris, well, we differ theologically, but we both worship God, right? And the pastor will say, will nod his head in agreement. Yes, yes, of course. And then he'll say, how come we are going against each other? How come there's so many people in this country that are going against Mormonism? That's what he implies. And the pastor says, well, it's Satan. Well, now Satan is behind us going disagreeing with Mormonism and not wanting to conform to their theology, or not wanting us to accept their theology. And then
it's presented as division in the church.
Exactly, but Mormonism is not part of the church. So how should we then even consider it to be a part of the body of Christ? And then Beck will say, well, how do we fight that? How do we fight that? What he is doing is he is getting a lot of these big heads in the church, in the Christian evangelical church in America, to accept his religion. And that will in turn get other people to accept Beck's religion as Christianity. And that's what this is about. And if you look at his rally that he did in Israel, you will find other examples of universalism. For example, David Brog of CUFI, Christians United for Israel, who works with John Hagee, said that Muslims are children of Abraham. Well, Muslims can't be considered children of Abraham because Islam is not a race, for one. And then he says that Christians and Jews and Muslims should all come together side by side under God of the universe. Well, what? So, in a way, it's not.
Okay,
it's not,
then you're quoting David. Is it David Fromm?
David Brog.
Brog. Okay, and yes, and he works for John Hagee's. What is it? The Christians United for Israel.
That's right.
Correct.
Yeah.
In fact, Hagee was even present, in which this complement of Islam existed.
But David Brog is not a Christian. He's a Jew, a member of Judaism.
Correct. He still represents CUFI.
But he works for John Hagee.
Correct. He represents CUFI. He represents the ministry. In other words, he represents the political institute of that ministry. To get into the theology part is absolutely an abominable thing to do when you begin to quote an imam in agreement with the imam that we all worship the same God and things of that sort. It becomes a problem. In other words, Look, I'm not bashing John Hagee. I've met John Hagee. He's a good man. He's luring in John Hagee. He's luring in these guys.
Oh, well, listen, I mean, we could do a whole program on John Hagee years ago. I mean, he had the book that he then later, because our program went after it very, very hard, and he
that's very good.
He republished the book and took those words out of the book, but he said that Jesus never claimed to be the Savior,
right,
the Messiah.
But why did he take this stuff out of the book? It's because we rebuked.
Yes.
It's because you rebuked. In other words, why do people get angry once we rebuke someone? And here we're not rebuking a fellow Christian. We're rebuking a fellow who's a cult, a Mormon, because he is, you know, claiming to be Christian and wanting everybody to follow suit. And we're saying, wait a minute, we got to rebuke this. This way, it will stop. If the ministry of rebuke ceases to exist, we're in serious trouble, and I'm sure you agree.
I am a radical defender of Orthodox Christianity, the Apostles' Doctrine. I won't waver. I'm not going to compromise. You know, I've drawn the line in the sand. This is what the Word says. End of discussion.
That's right.
And that's the way it's going to be.
But it doesn't matter if it's Hagee. It doesn't matter if it's, Billy Graham, Franklin Graham. When Billy Graham appears with Schuller and he says that, you know, he now believes that Mormons and Buddhists and Muslims have a path to God, to us, we don't stand by. We think, oh, okay, it's a slip of the tongue, maybe. Maybe he's getting old. Okay, that's fine. He's getting old. But then why his son, Franklin Graham, is carrying on the same banner when it comes to Mormonism? Franklin Graham, he's not old. He's not senile. It's been a long time since this happened with his father. In other words, we are seeing corruption and a falling away in the church at the top level, from America's Pastor Rick Warren to Franklin Graham to the major, major ministries in this country. And what's left is the narrow gates, like you, myself, and a few others. But that's how it is. That's what's happening. People need to begin to ask, if the falling away is, you know, comes before Christ, well, we all agree that, you know, Christ is soon to come. Well, where's the falling away? You know, look no further.
It's all around us.
You'll find it.
It's all around us. I think last year when the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association removed its references to Mormonism, it was during the presidential campaign, and I think that they quietly removed it because of Governor Mitt Romney being the candidate
right,
of the Republican Party. And Governor Romney went to Billy Graham's home and had a face-to-face meeting with him. And then I don't know if it was before the meeting or directly after the meeting, the Billy Graham website was scrubbed of all references to Mormonism as a cult. Now, going back to Robert Morris, and I really like Robert Morris. He's a straight shooter, and I'm really concerned because I didn't know that Robert Morris had made these remarks, and I like Robert Morris. But this is what I was told privately last year. I did see Glenn Beck on James Robinson's program Life Today. And I like James Robinson. James and Betty Robinson have done a great work for many years. But I know he was promoting Glenn Beck on his program.
Yeah.
And I still have a lot of friends back in Dallas-Fort Worth. I lived there for 10 years. And we lived – when I first went to Dallas-Fort Worth, we lived in Colleyville. And that's next door to South Lake. In fact, where we lived was between Colleyville and South Lake, and you know, it was the road that connected the two communities. And this church that you mentioned, Gateway, which is a huge church in South Lake, Texas, pastored by Robert Morris. Robert is James Robinson's son-in-law. He's married.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he's married to James's daughter. And so last year I was talking to one of my friends in DFW and I on a telephone conversation, and I mentioned this, and I said, you know, I'm a little concerned about Glenn Beck being on James Robison's program, because I'm afraid this is sending a signal out to Christians that James is embracing Glenn Beck. And this is what my friend told me, because my friend is fairly close to James Robison over many years, and a lot of his associates who work in the ministry. And he said, well, Rick, he said, I know this for a fact. James has been privately counseling Glenn Beck and seeking to lead him to the Lord. I said, well, let me tell you. And he said he's working with him to lead him to the Lord. And he said, Glenn is attending Robert Morris's church on Sunday mornings.
That's what I've heard too.
Yes. Okay. And I said, but is he still going to the Mormon church? And he said, my friend said, yes, he's going to the Mormon church and then to Gateway in South Lake, Texas. And I said, well, at some point, Glenn has to make a decision, doesn't he? And I said, for me, the way I would handle this as a minister, as a pastor, is, of course, I would counsel someone. I would meet with them. I would befriend them. I would do everything that I can to present the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But I would not present that person on the platform of my ministry until that person made a firm commitment to Jesus Christ.
Amen. So why did he do that? In other words, what the public looks at is what determines what's going on, not what goes in private. A lot of times people say, well, you know, I'm privately doing this and this and that, but that doesn't mean anything. All what it means is that I seek to gain from the charisma and the popularity of Glenn Beck. I'll put him on my show, and I'll deny essentials in the gospel. I'll deny anything you want. And that's the problem. That's the crux of the problem we're talking about. Christian leaders denying essentials could care less about essentials for the sake of getting popularity, for the sake of getting ratings, for the sake of getting known. And the whole argument that we need Glenn Beck is a false argument.
Why do we need anybody all of a sudden? I mean, how come, you know, people are saying, well, we're the people of this country, we the people, this is a country for the people, but why are we all of a sudden becoming we've been this way for quite some time, but why do we have to be a culture which depends on some famous person to tell us what the truth is and what the truth isn't?
That's right. Hey, I'll tell you a true story. I hope he doesn't mind me doing this. Dr. C.R. Oliver in Texas, a wonderful saint of God. And there's no compromise in him, no wavering. He's going to finish his race in victory. And last year he called me one day and he said, Rick, he said, this is right after Glenn Beck moved to Texas. And apparently Mr. Beck started working the Texas evangelical Christian circuit pretty hard. You know, and from what I understand, he was having breakfast meetings with pastors in different Texas cities, and it was $500 per person to have breakfast with Glenn Beck. And as CR,
he charged people?
Yes. And for pastors only. This was a pastor's meeting with Glenn Beck, $500. And CR called me. CR called me and he said, Rick, he said, these pastors in Texas are tripping over each other trying to get their $500 check to Glenn Beck in order to have breakfast with him. And CR said, he said, they've been calling me and trying to get me to give $500 to have breakfast with Glenn Beck. And he said, here's what I'm going to do, Rick. He said, I'm not spending $500 to have breakfast with Glenn Beck. I'm going to give $1,000 to True News, and I'm going to go to the marriage supper with Jesus.
That's very good. You know, that reminds me of what Paul says. Paul says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils, and you cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. And I'm not saying that the breakfast table is the table of devils. What I am saying is that's what these pastors are doing. They're talking about Jesus in one place, but then they're conforming to Beck's religion in another. And that's what Robinson did. He was asked on a television show, you know, and he actually said it himself. No one even asked him about Mormonism. He said he went out of his way and said, many people are saying that he can't be a Christian because of his Mormonism. And then he said, I believe that he is a Christian based on what God told Beck and what God told me. So all of a sudden he's a prophet. And then he says, I believe that Jesus has entered into his heart. Well, it doesn't make any sense.
One true Jesus had entered into his heart, he would renounce Mormonism.
Correct, absolutely. But, you know, what's strange about this is that the interviews he does with most of these Christian evangelicals, you know, they are kowtowing to throwing away deep-rooted theological issues in order to be with Glenn Beck. The only one who refused to throw his secular views, and he's a secularist, is Geert Wilders. He called Geert Wilders a fascist. Geert Wilders has been fighting Islam and combating Islam for, you know, a long time in the Netherlands.
I had no idea that he referred to Geert Wilders as a fascist. Why would he do that?
As a fascist.
Why?
Well, it's because Geert Wilders calls Islam evil, period. You know, in this country, there's only two choices when it comes to Islam. Either you say Islam was hijacked and Islam is a peace-loving religion, as Glenn Beck says. In fact, it's in his book. He says, I read the whole Quran. Islam is a peace-loving religion. I'm convinced of it. Anyone else is thrown on the wayside. Well, Geert Wilders needs to reform.
Mm-hmm.
So he brought him to reform him, but failed to reform him. Geert Wilders stood his ground. And he's not a Christian. He's a secularist.
Yes.
He's a person who doesn't really know God, the Bible, as Christians do, refused to sell out on his principles. Yet there are all these so-called Christian pastors, mega church leaders, sold out on God for the sake of Mormonism, for the sake of the devil,
sake of money,
and money and power. That's, to me, very telling, is that at times God could even use a secularist who doesn't talk about religion. Had Geert Wilders himself talked about his spiritual views, I would rebuke him as well. We rebuke everybody who disagrees with the Bible because that's what we ought to do.
I want to go on record on the radio in case there's anybody who doesn't know, but I believe Islam is evil from the get-go. It is evil to the bone. There's nothing good about it. From the beginning to the end, it is a satanic religion.
If it wasn't evil, why did I have to convert to Christianity? I live in a society that I had left Islam and lost my family and received death threats and lost my property in Israel from my family. So I can receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Here comes a president who says he's Christian, who gets the red carpet galore all over the Middle East, claiming he converted to Christianity, although I never heard his testimony, have you? Makes all these dealings with Islam, compliments the Bible, and goes to Egypt, undermines the Bible, hates the Bible. He calls the Bible a book that teaches slavery, then goes to Egypt and says that he loves the Quran said this, and the Quran said that, and the Quran said this.
You almost described George Bush.
George Bush said Islam is a peaceful religion. I remember I got on the radio, I began to criticize President George Bush, and everybody started to criticize me, because, President George Bush is a Christian. So darn what?
Well, you ever heard George Bush confess Jesus Christ as his Lord? I haven't.
I haven't heard that testimony.
I have never publicly heard him. And somebody's going to say, in the 2000 campaign, he was asked, who is his favorite philosopher? And he said, Christ. Well, the question was, who is your favorite philosopher? Not who is your savior. I've never heard George Bush say, Jesus Christ saved me. But I do know George Bush is still a member of the Skull and Bones Secret Society.
Right. I mean, look at Jimmy Carter, same thing. When Jimmy Carter came out, I had Christian friends, you know. They told me that they voted for him. You know, he's Jimmy Carter who writes books rebuking Israel and wants to divide the land of Israel, and he's very liberal, and he attacks the fundamentalist Christians because he attacks anyone who interprets the Bible literally. The Bible is to be interpreted allegorically, according to him, yet here the masses voted for him thinking he was a Christian. He was the major person who didn't do anything about Iran when the Shah Pahlavi, his friend, asked for his help. The man was thrown under the bus, and now we have Khomeinism in Iran. This didn't change. It went on, even under Reagan. Reagan, he aided the Mujahideen in Afghanistan to supposedly thwart the communists. What happened after that? We gave them Stinger missiles, and the Taliban was born. Right now it's happening already. The American government, Obama, the convert to Christianity, he has been a key instrument, went to Egypt, wanted to give the Muslim Brotherhood the green light when Hosni Mubarak, who is a Muslim, who says, wait a minute, you can't do that. The Muslim Brotherhood is a terrorist organization. Well, not according to our standards, they're not. So that gave the green light for the Muslim Brotherhood to take over Egypt. So we lost Egypt as a friend and an ally. Now it's went to Libya. It's going to Libya. Libya is a chaos. Now it's going to Syria. Now it's going all over the place. In fact, historians today say that the United States helped recreate the Ottoman Islamic Empire. Hello? You know, the United States. The United States is the head that created the evil of Islam, Islamic Empire in the Middle East. You know, they're fractured. They want to unite. But who's giving them the green light? The United States of America.
Who set up an Islamic foothold in Eastern Europe called Kosovo? The United States.
Right. Theodore can talk about Kosovo.
Which one of you guys could talk about the basic tenets of Mormonism? I really don't know a lot.
That's a good question. I would like to answer that. That's a great question, by the way. Glenn, see, in the article that I wrote on Glenn Beck, called Glenn Beck Converts to Chrislam, I asked the question, why is Glenn Beck so fascinated with universalism? Why does he keep pushing universalism? Because I can give other examples other than the ones that I gave priorly. Because it is part of his religion. People need to understand this about Mormonism. You know, Mormonism really is an extreme version of Chrislam. Joseph Smith observed the most extreme form of Islam that you could ever imagine. In 1855, the earliest leaders of Mormonism, of the Latter-day Saints, got together specifically to exalt the Prophet Muhammad. Joseph Smith stated that Muhammad was a prophet of God, and that Muhammad suffered just as I have suffered. He paralleled himself to Muhammad. And in a very famous speech he made, the speech of called Al-Quran or the Sword, Joseph Smith stated, in this generation, I will be the second Muhammad. Where it was in his generation, Al-Quran or the Sword, the Quran or the Sword, it will be in this generation, Joseph Smith or the Sword.
You're telling me that Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, and the early Mormons actually honored Muhammad?
That's right. In fact, we debated Mr. Tanner, who is
Martin Tanner, the head apologist for the Latter-day Saints.
He could not deny it.
He couldn't deny it. And so the subject of the debate was, can Mormonism be considered Christianity? And I said, no, it cannot. As long as you believe that Joseph Smith is your prophet, he's the founder of your religion. I said, forget about him being a prophet. Let's talk about Joseph Smith being a Christian. If Joseph Smith was truly a believer in the scriptures, why would he declare that Muhammad was an inspired prophet? And why would he declare himself to be the second Muhammad? And Martin Tanner and the other Mormon that was with him had either two choices, reject Joseph Smith or defend the prophet Muhammad. And they of course, they chose the latter of the two. And also, in this meeting that took place in 1855 by the Latter-day Saints, George A. Smith, one of the earliest of the Latter-day Saints leaders, stated that Muhammad was a prophet of God, and that it was because of divine destiny that Muhammad was chosen by God. So the idea of Chrislam, the idea of accepting Muhammad as a inspired religion in Mormonism, goes back to its earliest days, and the Latter-day Saints still uphold this So we can talk about Chrislam, and if we want to talk about Chrislam, we can't talk about it without discussing Mormonism.
Well, give us examples of how LDS upholds this view.
Well, to this day they do. Mm-hmm. Till this day, if you go to the article that we wrote, Chrislam, Glenn Beck converts to Chrislam, I link several times to LDS.org, the official website for the Latter-day Saints. And if you click on the links, it will bring you to the Latter-day Saints official website, to their official statement on Islam, and why they respect Islam and how they respect Islam, and they put quotes from Joseph Smith and his respect for the Prophet Muhammad as an inspired prophet, and quotes from head Mormon leaders like George A. Smith and Parley Pratt.
Okay, now listen, every Mormon listening to me right now, before you shoot off a hot email denouncing me for this program, you need to do what he just said. You go to the LDS website and you read for yourself if that statement is on the website of the Church of the Latter-day Saints. You find out if they're still upholding Joseph Smith's view of Muhammad. And if they are, then you, Mr. and Mrs. Mormon, you need to make a real serious decision, and you need to make that decision today. Are you going to continue? Are you going to blindly continue in the Mormon Church, or are you going to come out of Babylon? Listen, it's not this coming out of Babylon in the last days. God says, come out of her, my people. And God has people all over the place that are stuck in Babylon. They're stuck in religious institutions that are Babylonian. They're stuck in all kinds of Babylonian strongholds. And God is saying to the people who have a heart for him, you come out of Babylon and you serve me. You serve me without compromise. So the Mormons listening to me right now, you do your homework before you write a letter to me. And you find out if Waleed and Theodore Shabbat are telling the truth about what they're saying regarding the Mormon Church's respect and honor for Islam and the Prophet Muhammad. Because if they're telling you the truth, then you have to make a decision. You have to decide either to come out or to continue to believe a lie. Gentlemen, go ahead.
I'll go first then. If you look at the Mormon religion also, Mormonism was allowed to thrive for a long time, and then Mormonism became very, very violent. And so when people say, well, Ted, why are you attacking Mormonism? They're a very peaceful religion. Well, why are they peaceful? Mormons, okay, fine, they're peaceful. But why are they peaceful? Are they peaceful because of Mormonism, or are they peaceful because of something that took place in the past? They're peaceful because of something that took place in the past. If you study the history of the Latter-day Saints, they were very militant in their beginning. Joseph Smith was very militant. He said, in this generation, it will be Joseph Smith or the sword. He had some very dangerous people that were working with him, John Hickman being one of them, Porter Rockwell being another, Isaac C. Height. Let's not forget the Mountain Meadow Massacre. Over 100 people from Arkansas were massacred because they had to go through Utah, and the Mormons killed them all.
Yeah, hey, President Ulysses S. Grant didn't think the Mormons were peaceful.
No, he didn't.
He sent the cavalry after them.
Neither did Abraham Lincoln. So when we're talking about the Mormons' early history, it was very violent, and its aspirations were to take over this country and make it into a theocracy where Joseph Smith or Brigham Young or whoever it was would be the dictator. That's exactly what they did in Utah. They took over Utah, and they said, Utah is now a separate country. We're going to make up our own laws, and Joseph Smith is the leader. And the American government had to do something about it. There was the Mormon War, okay? And that is when the Latter-day Saints got pulverized, tenderized, and became peaceful. So they became peaceful as a result of Christians here in this country having sense as to what a cult is, and that this cult needs to be punished for what it's doing. So it's not really a peaceful religion, and I believe that if the Mormons had their way, they would go back to their militancy. So we cannot allow Mormonism to raise its head in confidence again. That would be like allowing communism in this country to raise its head in confidence. if we look at Mormonism as we look at communism, then our perspectives will change.
Hey, I've got about 10 minutes. I want to go over into another area. There is I want to find out if you guys see any connection to this. And this is Freemasonry. With Freemasonry, you have a lot of Islamic imagery, the sword, the temples, and all that stuff. Okay, and then with Mormonism, basically Joseph Smith was a Freemason breakaway, and he incorporated a lot of Freemason rituals and secret handshakes and everything into the Mormon Church. Is there a connection here between Freemasonry, Islam, and Mormonism?
Absolutely. If you look at the Kaaba itself, prior to Islam, it had all the different deities surrounding it. You look at the Freemasonry, they have everybody bring their own book or their own idol if they want and put it and place it in a round circular shape, exactly as it was in the Kaaba. So it just goes back to the Babylon issue you mentioned. In fact, since we were talking about Mormonism, I'm looking currently at the LDS.org, and I'm looking at it in front of my screen, LDS.org. People can search it for themselves. It says that the Latter-day Saint appreciation of Muhammad's role in history can also be found in the 1978 First Presidency Statement regarding God's love to all mankind. And if I may skip as well, in recent years, in respect for the spiritual legacy of Muhammad and for the religious values of the Islamic community, has led increasingly contact and cooperation between Latter-day Saints and Muslims around the world. This is due to the pressure presence of Latter-day Saint congregations in areas as the Levant, North Africa, Persian Gulf, and Southeast Asia. The Church, that is the Latter-day Saints Church, has sought to respect Islamic laws, that is Sharia. That's the thing that Glenn Beck claims to be fighting. And traditions that prohibit conversion of Muslims to other faiths by adopting a policy of non-proselytizing in Islamic countries in the Middle East. In other words, Mormons are not allowed to proselytize to Muslims in the Middle East. Why? In respect, and because basically they have the same faith.
So why do they want to proselytize? So the question is, then why do they want to proselytize to us?
There you go.
Why do they go to Catholic countries and Christian countries and proselytize to them?
Do you see some type of synergistic merging of Mormonism and Islam in the years ahead?
Absolutely, because if you look at the Muslim Brotherhood's agenda, they clearly stated that they will use all the elements in the United States that adhere to that respect their theology and appreciate the way they think. And that's the liberals, that's the Mormons, that's anyone. There's, tremendous, and this is why you read these things on the LDS.org. So the liberals very much also support Islam. Why? Because liberals believe in spreading the wealth. Islam believes in spreading the wealth. Liberals believe in the Big Bang. Islam teaches that God created the earth in the Big Bang. Most Christians don't even understand when it comes to Islam. It's not even conservative. It's very liberal. If you look at the congressman, what's his name? Keith Ellison. Keith Ellison is liberal. Look at all his stuff. He's very liberal. Islam believes in what is called al-ishtirakiyya al-islamiyya, Islamic socialism. Islam doesn't believe that life begins at the moment of conception. Boy, that tickles the ears of the abortionist. This is why Al Gore, when he talks about Islam, he's very complimentary, because Islam complements environmentalism. And so it tickles the ears of Al Gore. So Christians need to understand that the only conservative, really conservative system in the world, that is the Judeo-Christian ethics. And there is nothing like it. This is why we love Christianity. And what kind of a message are these people sending when it comes to the people that that this country so says they love? I thought they loved Muslims. They want to bring them out of darkness. Well, here we are. We're trying to fight the darkness. Why are we so condemned? Didn't you want us to come out of darkness? Now you condemn us for coming out of the darkness and for exposing the darkness?
I've got 5 minutes remaining. Going back to Glenn Beck, I see him as the first Mormon televangelist.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I really believe that is his role. He is the first Mormon televangelist. And he's doing a superb job of of leading Christians into Mormonism. They've got half of their, you know, they got one foot over into Mormonism. Once you start going, once you step over the line and say Mormonism is Orthodox Christianity, well, you're halfway in.
Right. Right. As soon as you say that Mormons worship the same God as us, it really is treading on deep waters. You're going down the road of Judas Iscariot.
somebody,
let's not forget Judas. He betrayed Jesus with a kiss.
Theodore,
these people are coming in the name of love.
Theodore, take the remaining. I can stretch this about 4 minutes. Take the next 4 minutes, and can you give us a capsulized synopsis of the basic tenets of Mormonism and why it is not Orthodox Christianity?
Oh, that's a good question. I can go on. I can say that, talk about this for hours, but
yes,
to give
sir.
You a brief synopsis of it. Mormonism is kind of like Arianism. It denies the Trinity. It believes that Christ is not one with the Father. It doesn't believe that the Holy Spirit is one with the Father. It doesn't believe any of them are united at all. They're all different, separate entities. So it's kind of like, it's very similar to Islam. Islam is also anti-Trinitarian.
Except Jesus is the brother of Lucifer.
Right, well, yeah, and also Mormonism is not monotheistic. It doesn't believe that there is one God. It believes that they are an endless amount of gods, and all of these gods have their goddesses. So it's actually very polytheistic and quite pagan, if you ask me. So it cannot be considered. And also the fact that Joseph Smith considered Muhammad to be a prophet of God, inspired by the prophet of God, inspired by God, and also Joseph Smith himself admitted that he was getting revelations from Lucifer. He said that to his brother, Hiram Smith, that some revelations are from God, some revelations are of man, some revelations are of Satan.
Muhammad had the same thing, too, the satanic verses.
The satanic verses. So it's very satanic, and plus Mormonism was very violent in its beginnings. It believed in terrorism toward others. It believed that terrorism toward others who were not Mormons. Anybody, if you read John D. Lee was the adopted son of Brigham Young. If you read his book on the Mormon history, it's quite eye-opening. He says that Joseph Smith said that if anybody comes into our territory, you behead him, cut his head off. So the idea of beheading people who were not part of the Mormon church was there right in the beginning. So it's a very dangerous religion. It's very violent.
Could it be that the same devil that inspired Muhammad to start Islam is the same
Absolutely.
Devil that appeared to Joseph Smith?
Let me tell you what shocked me when I first was looking at Christianity. I had Mormon missionaries knock on my door, and they showed me a video. You know, Joseph Smith went to a secluded place. He saw an angel of light. I go, wow, this is the same as Muhammad. Went to a secluded place called Ghar Hira, saw an angel of light. He gave him the Book of Mormon, which is a replica of another tablet, the Book of Mormon, that is a replica from different metals in heaven. Muhammad got the Quran, and it was a replica of an original from what the Quran calls the tablets of stone in heaven. Joseph Smith was told by that angel to divert the holy place from Jerusalem to Salt Lake City. Muhammad diverted the holy place from Jerusalem to Mecca. Multiple wives in Islam, multiple wives in Mormonism. And the story goes on for hours in showing the similarities between Islam and Mormonism. It is tremendous information. In fact, the best book on the subject is by Alvin Schmidt. What's the title, Theodore?
American Muhammad.
The American Muhammad. Alvin Schmidt did a fantastic job. He's a historian. He did a superb job in comparing the two. It's an entire manuscript. It is an eye-opener.
And yet St. Paul told us that do not believe any other gospel, even if it is presented to you by an angel. And yet that's exactly what happened with Joseph Smith. You know, what was that angel's name? Macaroni or Moroni?
Maroni.
Macaroni. You know, Macaroni showed up. You know, I don't care what the angel's name was. It was Satan. It was Satan appearing as an angel of light, speaking to Joseph Smith. And they believed it, and he presented it to people, and the people believed the lie. And years later, there are millions of people that are believing the lie that was delivered to Joseph Smith by Satan himself appearing as an angel of light. And the Word of God tells you, do not believe another gospel, even if it's delivered to you by an angel. You know,
That's correct. Also, if I may add, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, it says, who is the liar? It is but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Islam denies the Father and the Son. Mormonism denies the Trinity. So there you go. You know, this is the key. The key are two keys. By their fruits, you will know them. Number one. Number two, the denial of the Trinity. If it denies the Trinity, it is not from God.
And the next time you're watching Christian television and the Christian host is interviewing Glenn Beck, you need to shake your head and turn the channel. And you stay close to Jesus. The deception is only going to grow worse by the day. And that's the purpose of True News. We're here to keep you from falling asleep. You don't want that delusion to come over you. There is a very, very seductive spirit moving in the world today. My guest, Waleed Shabbat, and his son, Theodore Shabbat, Shabbat.com, S-H-O-E-B-A-T.com. Gentlemen, it's been a fantastic conversation with you. Thank you so much for being on True News.
Thank you, sir. God bless
you. Bet. God bless.
Reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ, this is True News.
This is Max McLean. Why does God not want us to associate with disruptive people? Listen to the Bible from Romans 16. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. From Romans 16, listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
I think you can agree that there is no other news program on the air like True News. We have no hidden agenda. Our mission is to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He alone is the only way to God the Creator. We will not compromise the gospel. We will not water it down. We will not mix it with false doctrines. We will not promote heresies and apostasy. True News is in its 15th year of broadcasting because there are men and women who believe just as we do, and they're willing to put their money into this international ministry to support it. The fight is on for the souls of 6 billion people. The clock is ticking. Jesus is coming again. But before He comes again, much will happen on this planet. There will be apostasy. There will be a falling away. The Antichrist beast system will arise. The saints of God will be persecuted. But we have a job to do, and we will finish the job, you and I together, because we are part of the glorious church, the body of Christ. You are invited to join with us in this great mission. Why don't you join and support True News?